This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Dr. Mark Harrison. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Robert. Thank you for having me here.
And Mark is president and CEO of Intermountain Healthcare. So, Mark, Intermountain Healthcare is one of the largest healthcare networks in America. And you became CEO in 2016. Talk about now what the organization was then and how it has changed.
Well, thanks, Robert. We've at Intermountain, we believe in keeping people well. That's our basic business model. So we're really good at taking care of people when they're sick, but our main focus is on what we call population health and value. So keeping groups of people well and making it affordable. When I got here in October 2016, the organization was absolutely oriented in that direction. That said, we had a lot of work to do to make it actionable. And at this point in time, about half of our $10 billion in revenue is associated with keeping people well. We take full financial and clinical risk for them. So it's to our advantage as a not-for-profit and as a company that needs to be viable, and to the patient's advantage, that we are completely aligned on how do we keep that person as functional and healthy as possible. We've made that pivot in the context of a very large reorganization that's really unprecedented amongst legacy healthcare systems. We've entered two new states in substantive ways, and our top line revenue has increased from about $6 billion to just under $10 billion in the time that I've been here, while dropping prices.
Do you have any unique practices that healthcare providers or other CEOs could learn from you in terms of quality? And, you know, as we know, people come all the way from Alaska just to come to Intermountain. So it really is known deeply. You've 24 hospitals, I think 225 clinics.
Yes. And, you know, we're fortunate to have, I guess, now 41,000 of the best human beings in the world who we get to work with as part of our team. You know, if you ask people who practice medicine, do you provide quality care? Do you adhere to best practices? Boy, there's not a person who will tell you no. And they really do believe that, and they mean it. But we believe very strongly at Intermountain that good intentions are just intentions, and it's facts that you can take to the bank and hopefully improve care for patients. And so we measure relentlessly, and we talk about things regularly. In fact, we've put in place a tiered huddle system that we shamelessly stole a model from the nuclear power industry. We said to ourselves, how do nuclear power plants keep themselves so safe? And it turns out that there's a series of quality-based huddles that happens every day at these plants, and they work their way up the chain of command. And at Intermountain, we've modeled that. And today at 10:15 a.m., my team, the executive team, will have a 15-minute download on how the organization has performed in the last 24 hours. Volume, access, quality, any major safety concerns, major equipment outages, et cetera. But what's interesting is underneath that, there are five other levels of huddles that have occurred starting around 7 a.m. in the morning. And so our huddle at the executive level culminates, is the culmination of about 3,000 huddles that have occurred already that day. What that means is we hear things and see things in real time, and it makes us quite agile, and it allows us to use influence where it's necessary. A very sort of mundane example, but not that unimportant, is when we started this process, we started hearing about CT scanners that weren't working, that were having long downtimes waiting for replacement parts across our enterprise. First of all, if we hadn't started functioning as a true operating company, we would have never known that. We would have known there were isolated instances, but we saw a pattern. And we were able to use our size and scale and reputation to actually work with the company that made these CT scanners, changed the global supply chain, and reduced our downtime for our patients. And that would have never happened without these huddles.
It's really interesting. And when we talk about best practices in business, you call these officially escalation huddles, and you do 3,000
a day.
A day, 3,000 a day. This seems like something that could work as a best practice through a lot of other types of organizations.
So absolutely. And in fact, we've had about 200 organizations from around the world come and visit us. So from as far away as New Zealand and from all lots of different industries, including one of the big automakers sent a team to understand how we're doing this and how we've turned it into a very large and complex but efficient operating company that's mission-driven.
I just have to ask you, logistically, when you have 3,000 meetings in a day, how is the information transferred real-time so that it becomes relevant? You're obviously getting significant results here, but I think a lot of CEOs would want to know that.
I think the more nuanced answer is that leaders at each level of the organization are eager to share their concern, care, and mission orientation up a level. And it's extraordinarily gratifying, I'm told, from very much frontline people who recognize that within 12 hours of a major problem being identified, maybe it's a safety problem with a piece of medical equipment that's going to need to be reported nationally. That's made that up to my team. It's been acted on, and the problem should never, ever happen again within our organization. So I think it functions both in a technical, which is probably, you know, that's not that exciting, but in an emotional level. And the other thing we do every day, in the course of my team's huddle, we explicitly recognize a frontline caregiver from either our hospitals or from our outpatient arena for extraordinary service to another human being. So there's a component of reward and recognition that happens every day, too.
How is that determined?
It's driven by the frontline folks. They identify, we call them caregivers, believing that every person is part of our organization, whether they're clinical or not, is contributing to the care of another human being. The frontline managers identify these people and they roll up through the escalation huddles, and I get to hear about two or three of them every day.
What are your thoughts about the concept of succession planning, and what are the best practices you could share with people?
So I'm going to use semantics for just a second. Increasingly, we're calling it progression planning. You know, we think that this is an ongoing and evolutionary process as we develop talent. And, you know, in addition to our hospital leadership, we've got a giant medical group with, you know, over 3,000 employed providers, and we've got folks in Idaho and Nevada and in our virtual hospital, and which serves the entire United States. We've got affiliates in, you know, now in, I guess, a total of 9 states, including the ones that were boots on the ground. So we're constantly looking and thinking about talent. And in fact, my executive team just spent a 6-hour day this week going through the depth charts for each of their positions, very rigorously done. And then we actually looked 2 layers down at emerging talent and tested it against competency, what we think the future is going to look like, ability to lead transformational change, and also against the lens of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Recognize that we're never going to be as competent at keeping people well as we'd like to be until our leadership and our caregivers look like the communities they serve. And we have work to do there still.
And how does all of this tie into your overall philosophy about leadership development? You've 41,000 people.
From a leadership development standpoint, I think there's some core competencies. So, you know, some of it's the usual and customary stuff. You know, how do you make, you know, how do you meet your goals? Are you a servant leader or are you a driving leader? Do you clear the way for others? How do you lead transformational change in an industry? It's our turn. Banking's had their moment. You know, telecom has had its moment. Big tech has had its moment. And now healthcare, you know, 18% of our GDP is in the throes of massive and incredibly rapid transformation with novel disruptors with lots of money behind them. And we know the world's going to become more consumer-centric and more affordable and more digital. And we think lots of legacy systems are going to get their lunch eaten big time. And Intermountain has really worked very hard to be an innovator, if not the innovator, amongst large healthcare systems. But we still have a lot of work to do. And so in my mind, if you want to be a healthcare leader, you're going to have to be able to lead change. You're going to have to be able to do it positively. You're going to have to help people reskill and upskill and reorient. And if you can do that, you're going to be wildly successful. If you don't, you're going to be blockbuster.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show. We speak with the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Dr. Mark Harrison, who is the president and CEO of Intermountain Healthcare, one of the larger organizations in healthcare and most successful, especially in areas like quality. When we come back, we're going to ask him what advice he would give to a new CEO.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're speaking with Dr. Mark Harrison, who is the president and CEO of Intermountain Healthcare, which is one of the largest integrated healthcare systems in America, and we've heard has had some of the best results, actually, in COVID, and real kudos to you on that. So I want to ask you, when you're speaking with new CEOs, and you also have 24 hospitals, so you have a lot of new CEOs who you're guiding. What is the advice that you give to CEOs?
I give two pieces of advice. I'll start with the most basic level. I often counsel people, let your warmth show. Sometimes, particularly if you're new in a CEO role, you believe you have to be really tough, and I certainly can be tough when I need to be, but I hope that I also am personal and authentic with people, and I love learning about other people's lives and history, and I think that goes a long way. And it comes from a very sincere place. I think operationally, particularly if you come from the outside, I'd suggest that the CEO, the new CEO, do a objective, external assessment of the organization they're taking over. There's local lore and local myth and local pride and also local disdain that may or may not be accurate. And I found that to be extremely valuable to just have a common fact base, and an unemotional, thorough fact base of what the organization that you're going to lead looks like. And actually, that's not a project that I run myself. In fact, when I came to Intermountain, we did exactly that. It ended up being very valuable. Found out, in fact, you know, this is a great organization, but we had things to work on like everyone does. But I actually asked my chief operating officer and my chief financial officer to run that process. So that wasn't Mark's project, right? It was our new look at it itself. And then the other piece is a softer piece of advice is if you're really going to innovate and if you're really going to grow, you need to listen to some of the crazy ideas around you and listen to them very sincerely and be willing to act on them. And about 2 weeks into my tenure at Intermountain, a guy named Dan Lilienquist, who's now our chief strategy officer, but he wasn't then, came to me and he was ready to leave Intermountain because he wanted to start the not-for-profit generic drug company, Civica, which you may be familiar with, which now services 1,300 hospitals, and its outpatient division will service 150 million Americans as it takes on egregious drug pricing and shortages for generic. And Dan came to me and said, look, Mark, you know, I really want to go do this. I think I'm going to leave, but you know, if Intermountain will support this, I can stay and work with you and we can start this company. And I listened and the investment was about $10 million, about $9 million of which we thought we might get paid back over time if the project was successful. And it addressed one of the core problems that Americans have. So when you look at healthcare and affordability, it's outpatient drugs that people pay for out of their own pocket that really hurts Americans. And I thought, what the hell, let's go for it. And in fact, the company's been wildly successful. And it never would have happened if I didn't stop and listen to a guy who on the table of organization was, I don't know, two, three, four levels below me, and wasn't really willing to act. Now, the risk can be that you can chase shiny objects, and that's not good. But boy, there are some great ideas all around you, and I encourage new CEOs in particular, to keep those ears open and think about solving the big problems.
That is great advice. Great advice. Let's shift now to the national stage, to your concept, which a lot of organizations are doing, called value-based care, which is keeping populations healthy. And you mentioned 50% of your business is tied into this, which to me seems a real surprise. That's an eye-opener in a very, very positive way. Why is that so important to the United States, and talk specifically about what you are doing at Intermountain?
So, Robert, if it isn't clear, I love medicine. I love practicing it. I love leading healthcare. As an ICU doctor, I love technology and intervention. Now all I think about is public health, pretty much. And the reason is, you know, it's the Willie Sutton thing. Why do you rob a bank? It's because where the money is. Why should you be interested in public health? That's the way you keep people well. And, you know, here we spend essentially twice as much as the average advanced country on healthcare, and we get about the worst results of developed countries in terms of life expectancy, quality of life, preventable disease, suicidality, et cetera. And so we focus on housing, food security, physical security, transportation. It turns out the pandemic has demonstrated to us that the digital divide is a major barrier to achieving health care in a modern environment. So poor people who don't have access to a device or broadband. Intermountain has reorganized ourselves into two basic businesses, which no other legacy health system has done. Keeping people well on one hand, and on the other hand, taking care of them when they're sick and returning them to health as quickly as possible.
I commend you on that. Now, a lot of this is about partnerships. What advice do you have on dealing with NGOs, governmental, private sector, public sector? Any thoughts on best practices in having partnerships?
You know, in a word, in a phrase, only work with the best people. Don't waste your time with folks who are crummy. So at Intermountain, we only want to work with the very best companies. And we've gotten very rigorous at saying, all right, we're going to spend our time doing only the things that we should be doing or can do the best, and the other things we should partner out and move fast. And ideally, when we create those relationships, we align both the operational and financial incentives so that a rising tide raises all boats. And it's worked very, very well.
Final question for you, Mark. What do you think the future of healthcare in America will be?
Well, I can tell you for sure it's going to be more digital, more less friction, more affordable. The question is, who's going to deliver that, Robert? So is it going to be really well integrated, and is it going to be seamless for people and really work in a coordinated fashion to keep them well? That's what we want to do, and that's the movement that we're trying to drive at Intermountain. Or is it going to be bits and pieces of asynchronous activity? And I really hope it's not going to be that, but there's a land rush of money into healthcare tech in particular that only nibble away at discrete problems. And that doesn't serve people well. You end up with volume-driven asynchronous healthcare that is just happens to be digital versus in person. So I hope that the future is going to be an Intermountain-like model of value-based healthcare that spans the United States and beyond.
On that note, Mark, I would like to thank you. What an inspirational interview, and much success on the personal and on the business level.
Thank you. This has been such a pleasure. It's an honor.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus. A 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free. 2020safe.net.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Ellie Hollander. How are you, Ellie?
I'm good, Robert. Thank you.
And Ellie is the CEO and president of Meals on Wheels America, most people have heard of. But just talk through the concept of what the program is.
Sure. Well, there are about 5,000 Meals on Wheels programs across the country, serving individuals who are in the greatest social or economic need that need a lending hand to be able to live in their own homes and communities with independence, safely and healthily. And Meals on Wheels provides meals and so much more, like socialization, so that someone knows that they're being checked in on.
Yep. And I will tell you, in full disclosure, when I heard about you, it was interesting because probably my mentor in life was my grandfather, who passed away and maybe about almost two dozen years ago. But he was an old lawyer, a curmudgeon. He was a cantankerous old guy, and he would complain about a lot of things. One of the few things in life that he really liked was Meals on Wheels. I'd say, how's the food? He goes, it's actually better than Jenny, which was his wife. And he liked it, and he looked forward to it, and he also liked the socialization component of it.
Yeah, well, listen, your grandfather, Robert, sounds like my dad was. He was an attorney, and he was a curmudgeon also. But, yeah, what we hear a lot from Meals on Wheels clients is that as important as the meal is that socialization. And that the meals are pretty tasty, but we kind of say that the meal's the entree. And what comes with it is just somebody checking in on you, having a conversation, a relationship. So I'm glad that your grandfather had a good experience.
I want to jump in to the pandemic. So you were already delivering for about 2.4 million people, 221 million meals. It's a separate question of how you handle that logistically. We'll get into later. But for now, your business just went bonkers because of the intense need during the pandemic. Talk about what that was like when March came along.
Now, that was incredible because a lot of people don't realize that Meals on Wheels also provides meals in senior centers and group dining facilities, and those had to be suspended overnight. So they had to convert to drive-through, grab-and-go meal sites where more mobile seniors who could get there could go there and get, you know, a package of 7 meals or 14 meals to be able to take home. That was one thing that had to happen, and those many of those seniors have now been rendered homebound. So we already had, as you pointed out, 2.4 million seniors that we were serving annually aggregate across the country. And we've seen an increase of 1 million additional seniors that we've been serving. And because of the safety requirements, we've had to basically overnight introduce how to have contactless delivery, how to ensure that we're keeping a safe distance, but having eyes and ears on our seniors to make sure that they're okay. Procuring PPE and safety supplies that you know were very difficult for anybody to get. And then also the food ingredients, because many of our Meals on Wheels programs actually produce their own meals. So the food costs went up, transportation costs went up. And the other thing that people may not realize is we're very dependent on a volunteer corps across the country. Over 2 million volunteers, many of whom, because of the pandemic, they had to actually stay home, understandably, to protect their own health and well-being and to ensure that they were keeping everybody safe. So this was like a perfect storm, and Meals on Wheels programs are a lifeline to so many seniors. They had to pivot and adapt their service overnight.
How did you do that, though? Here you are at the center. You have 5,000 organizations, 2 million volunteers. How do you strategically galvanize your team and then disseminate everything so people have all the communications? You must have learned some major lessons going through this.
Well, our programs are unbelievably innovative, and they have this cadre of people that are so passionate about the mission of the organization that they basically really turned inwards and said, what are we going to do? How are we going to make this happen? They asked people to step up if they couldn't volunteer to deliver meals because of safety issues. They asked people to get on the phone and call and check in on seniors, writing personal notes to make sure seniors knew that they weren't forgotten. They had to rely on the goodness of partners, corporate partners, some of whom provided truckloads of freezers that could be then used for meals so that they could create a capacity to be able to serve more meals to millions more seniors. It was just phenomenal, and there really wasn't a one size fits all, Robert, because each of these programs are very dependent on the support they're getting from their individual communities, and communities stepped up big time.
How do you motivate 2 million volunteers? Not many people have that challenge, especially when all communications is changing. How do you do that?
Right. Well, this is not done systemically by one organization. The relationship between individual Meals on Wheels programs and their volunteers are done on that basis, community by community. And they have developed these relationships. These volunteers have personal relationships with the seniors they're serving. I'm sure your grandfather would have remembered the volunteer that came to visit him. So this is not something that we're doing at the national level, coordinating volunteers across the country. But at the national level, what we are doing is raising awareness and advocating to make sure that the resources that need to be there are there for these millions of seniors who are counting on Meals on Wheels as their lifeline.
Let's talk about something called Make Good, Go Further. It's a really innovative, important campaign, and it's actually more than a campaign. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we learned through COVID-19, and we're still in the throes of it, of course, is the generosity of people stepping up to the plate. And we created a COVID-19 response fund so that we could be able to provide grants directly to communities in need. The Make Good Go Further campaign is basically the next evolution of that, because there's so much work that needs to be done. And so many of the seniors that previously were able to get out of their homes now are homebound and counting on Meals on Wheels. So we set this campaign up to attract companies and organizations and individuals who want to continue to help Make Good Go Further, whether it's supporting communities in crisis, whether it's building capacity, or whether it's in helping to invest in innovations that are going to address these dual epidemics that we have in our country, Robert, which is senior hunger and senior isolation. They're growing epidemics, and we've got to be able to address it. The best way is by providing basically a two-part, two-pronged strategy, a national strategy and a community-by-community strategy. And that's what Make Good Go Further is intended to do.
If someone wants to get involved with it, what is the website?
Go to mealsonwheelsamerica.org/go-further. And there are many ways you can find out how you can help.
Okay, we are in about 2 minutes. We're going to take a break. But what else is it that CEOs should know about Meals on Wheels in America?
Well, a couple of things. One is your employees and your customers all want to make good go further. And Meals on Wheels is a feel-good brand that's known by so many and making a difference for so many seniors that otherwise would be alone and forgotten, that this is your opportunity to step up and really help us make a big difference in a growing issue across the country. And this is one of those brands that 9 out of 10 people know us, and 9 out of 10 think favorably. So this is a really great opportunity to not only do good by doing well, but to galvanize your employees, because they want to work for organizations that are making a difference.
We are now about to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the concept of public-private partnerships and what advice we could hear from Ellie on that. Back in a few.
From Philly to Fresno, Brooklyn to Boston, Data Cable Superstars has the best prices on installation of Cat 5 and Cat 6 wiring for cameras, computers, phone, and data, specializing in off-peak installs as to not interrupt your workflow. If this is an I need it done yesterday situation, then it's time to call Data Cable Superstars at 203-942-1427 or go to datacablesuperstars.com. That's datacablesuperstars, all one word, .com. Data Cable Superstars, where estimates and big ideas are always free.
Are you from California, Illinois, New York, Georgia, or any of the other 39 states that charge state income tax? Does your state claim you owe them any amount of back taxes? Or have you not filed in years? Is your heart pounding because you know they're wrong or you just don't have the money? Don't fight the state income tax board alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you. The state is much more aggressive than the IRS in collecting taxes. They have the power to take your home, your car, your drivers and business licenses, even garnish your wages, freeze your bank accounts, and go after your spouse. Solve all your income tax problems permanently and keep more of your hard-earned money. Make this 100% guaranteed risk-free call right now.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
Hi, I'm Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're speaking with Ellie Hollander, who is the president and CEO of Meals on Wheels America. And as many of you know, it's a tremendous organization delivering over 221 million meals to seniors, and that's a year, and that's increased dramatically over the pandemic. So I want to talk about the whole concept of public-private partnerships, because that's something that is really emerging forefront, especially during 2021. What are your thoughts on the mistakes that can happen and the best practices?
Well, I want to talk a bit about public-private partnership, as you said, Robert, because it is so important. Most people don't realize that Meals on Wheels does get some federal funding, but we are reliant on getting a match from private donors. So for every dollar that comes from the federal government, we need to get at least $2 from private philanthropy, from companies, foundations, and so forth. But the unusual thing is, and one would think this is different given the plight of seniors in America, the growing silver tsunami, more and more people are getting older, is that private philanthropy has only contributed about 2% of all the philanthropy that goes to seniors and or aging. So we're really looking to...
Wait. Only 2%? That seems extremely low.
Well, and some would say 2% is generous, to be honest with you. Yes, it's actually less than 2% when you aggregate all of philanthropy. And so one of the things that the silver lining in this pandemic has been to shine a light on the fact that there's so many seniors who are at home. This is their norm. For many of us, you and I, this is unusual for us to have been sheltering at home, to be maybe isolated and be apart from our loved ones and our colleagues, right? We understand now what it means to be lonely and socially isolated. But for seniors, this is the way that their life is. And so we absolutely need to continue to shine a light on that going forward. So that's why this is such a great opportunity for us to bring to the fore Meals on Wheels and how we really are dependent on the goodness of others to make our model work.
Okay. And let's just now talk about two different things, which is the food. How do you determine what food? And then I want to ask about how do you train the people? Because I remember she was a young Russian woman who would visit my grandfather frequently and bring the meals. So what are those two? And I know you're at the national level, but obviously you have a lot of say in this and a lot of influence.
Well, Meals for Seniors actually have special dietary requirements. And, you know, seniors don't eat necessarily the same kind of food that we eat. And we want to make sure that it's medically appropriate.
And probably softer as well.
Well, it depends. For many people, yes, puree is maybe a requirement. Low sodium, obviously, is another. And also depending on where you are in the country, because, you know, some parts of the country prefer different kinds of meals. And then the other thing is, those of us who are much more discerning these days, we want to make sure that meals are culturally appealing. So programs really have their own menus, and they want to make sure if the meals aren't being eaten, it's not going to help somebody. So they want to make sure that they're tasty, that they're meeting the requirements of seniors, and that they're culturally appealing and medically appropriate.
And any advice on getting the people to build relationships and be good on the end result when they're speaking, when they're delivering the meals? Any things that are best practices?
Well, anybody that's delivering a meal to a senior client through Meals on Wheels gets training. And the training has to do with an assessment so that we understand what the needs of that senior are. But also making sure that you're anticipating, for example, safety hazards in the home and what to do about that. To be able to ask questions that might elucidate if that person is lonely or depressed. And also a lot of this is visual observation, Robert. I mean, our volunteers and our staff really know what to look for. And because of that relationship that they often have with a senior, they can tell if there's been a change in that person's health. If suddenly they're not coming to the door or coming to the door, less appropriately dressed than they might normally, those can send a quick signal that there's something wrong. So our programs are very well trained in how to deal with that.
Let's shift now over to donors. And you have people like Robert Wood Johnson and Walmart, Caesars, but also Subaru is a main one, and that's my son loves a Subaru. So talk about what's happening there and why they get so involved.
Well, we talked earlier that how important it is that companies understand that they can actually do well by doing good, and that employees and customers care about what organizations are doing to give back in their communities. So we have some very long-standing relationships, Subaru being one, Caesars being another, Home Depot Foundation. These are three that we've had for a long period of time. And during the pandemic, we had so many wonderfully generous companies step up. You mentioned Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. We had TikTok. We had Fanatics. We had Walmart Foundation, United Healthcare Foundation. Many, many stood up and to support it. And we believe that this is the future, which is why we're setting up our Go Further Fund, because we want to continue to engage companies. They like to engage their employees. Could be volunteer opportunities. Could be, like Hilton did, opening up their call center and making outbound calls to seniors to make sure seniors know that someone's checking in on them.
And final question, I want to talk about women leadership. And I know that you won, the Silver Stevie Award for Woman Executive, and you have been bestowed many awards. What, for me personally, one of my big goals a decade ago is for us to have 50 Fortune 500 women CEOs. I think this is the year we finally might make it there. But what advice do you have to women who want to become a CEO?
Wow, that's a great question. I would explore talking to women, network as much as you can. Never forget about the basics, the things that really differentiate you from somebody else. The simple things like thanking people, following up, following through, sending handwritten notes, really important. Interns ask me about this a lot, and I say the same thing, which is you want to be memorable. You want to listen when you're having a conversation. You're telling me about your grandfather. Next time we talk, I would want to bring up the story about your grandfather, that you knew I listened and heard and retained what you said. All these basics people forget about. And so I just want to say never give up on just common sense, protocol, being polite. I would say, learn as much as you can. Pick people's brains and read.
And there you have it. And I do want to say that's real wisdom, Ellie, because after interviewing, I guess, close to 1,000 CEOs, the secret language of CEOs is the handwritten letter. So that is great advice. Wonderful having you on the CEO show.
Thanks so much, Robert.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.